So, Likras Parshas Korach. So we have some Ori Naim to learn, and some Kedushas Levi. So, there is no Ori Naim on Parshas Korach. And so we will go back to Parshas Shlach, and that will get us into Parshas Korach. Because the Ramban says that if not for Parshas Shlach, there wouldn't be a Parshas Korach, because Klal Yisrael loved Moshe Rabbeinu so much that they would never have even considered to even listen to Korach before the event of the Meraglim. It was only after the Meraglim, and after Hashem, using Moshe as his mouthpiece, condemns Bnei Yisrael to be stuck in the Midbar for 40 years, this is what totally discouraged them, to the point that if Korach will rebel, there's a havamina for the Yidden to be, their love of Moshe was a little bit cooled down, because they were very depressed and very dejected and very discouraged by, can you imagine being stuck in a desert penitentiary for 40 years? You want to get there to live a normal life, and now for 40 years, you know, it's like the Yidden who were released from concentration camps, which was what Mitzrayim was, and they're about to go to Eretz Yisrael, and their boats get sent back by the British, they go to DP camps in Cyprus for another year or two. It was horrendous. It was really horrendous. It's horrendous. If the concentration camp didn't break your spirit, so a DP camp for sure would. So this is what happened. So the Mori Naim says that, let me tell you something about the purpose of Yitzis Mitzrayim was to come to Das. Das, what does Das mean? Das means knowledge, intellect, total mental capacity. He says the ultimate mental function, that is, if you're going to look at the mind can do a lot of things. It can make computations, it can add, it can subtract, it can paint, it can build. The mind is awesome. The mind has many different functions. What, according to Torah, is the most sophisticated function of the mind? What would you say is the most sophisticated, advanced, chash of a function of the mind according to the Torah value system? So reasoning, telling the difference. Well, perhaps he's saying the same thing as Reb Nosson is. So the Mori Naim says that the highest level of Das is Bechira, free choice. Now of course free choice means you tell the difference between good and bad, so you're both saying the same thing. So he says, ultimately, the essence of man is to choose between two different opposites. And Hashem, and to make right choices, to make the right choices, the right bechira, is to be like God. And you don't know God until you make the right choices. Now, if you just study Gemara, let's say you study philosophy books, you study the Mor Nebuchim, all about Hashem, that is not going to make you close enough to God. The ultimate closeness to Hashem is to make the right choices. A choice, a bechira, is to know God. That's the shleimus of Das. And what really is happening, he says, is that a man is a very, he's saying a very philosophical word here, that when a man makes a good choice, he's not really doing anything. He is really just using the part of Hashem that's inside him. I can't say I understand this fully. He is saying that when you make the right choice, what you're really doing is you're just hooked up to the Das Hashem inside of you. And the purpose of the world was that we should make these choices. And these choices are called birur. This is called birur.
And I guess there's a very deep concept of the Olam HaShvira. In other words, if this world is called the fragmented world, there's Shvira and there's Birur. Shvira means is that you and I are little chips off the old block. We are broken off of Hashem, if we're going to comprehend that. Our little neshamas are chips off the old block, literally. We're chips off the block of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we do have Ribbono Shel Olam inside of us. When we make the right choice, we are really hooking up with the godly part of us. We come from the Olam HaShavira, we're broken of God, we're in the fragmentized world. And now we're in the world of Birur. Because there's Shvira, there's Birur, we have to select to be with God's side or the other side, which is broken from Him. When we decide to be with God, we get His intellect, we get His Das. So, he says, this is the meaning that he says, the Meraglim, he has a whole shtickle tari here, how the Meraglim didn't believe in this concept of Shvira, that we have the Das of Hashem inside of us, and they are totally in Shvira, and they don't, let me put it this way, the Mori Naim is very philosophical. He says that there are two ways to comprehend Shvira, fragmentization from God. The Meraglim understood Shvira to mean that there's entities in this world, there are parts of this world that are indeed really bad. They are totally severed from Hashem, they're broken away from Hashem, and they have no shaykh to Hashem. We hold differently, that even after there was a Shvira, even when Hashem made us chips off the old block, we contain inside of ourselves a bit of Hashem, we have the Das of Hashem, and Bechira means that I'm just, really Hashem's going to make the choice for us in the end. He seems to imply that even the choice is made for Hashem, that the choice of good and bad will be made by Hashem. We have to choose to be with God. That I'm not broken off from God. I'm with God. Once I feel I'm connected to God, God will help us make the right decisions. The Meraglim felt that there is a world here that is really broken away from Hashem and Gansel. There's real evil in the world. We believe that even Hitler was a puppet of God. Even he wasn't totally evil. Something good came out of Hitler, believe it or not. Yeah, a lot of good came out of Hitler. That's why all the Mepharshim say, the Gemara says, Nebana Shel Haman, Lamed Torah B'Nei Brak. Haman's grandchildren learned Torah B'Nei Brak because Haman really brought around the whole miracle of Purim. It was good. Ultimately, from Haman, good things came out. Really nothing bad happened to us. He just threatened us. He brought the best in us. He squeezed out some prayers from us. So that's why Haman was Zaycheh, had good eniklach. A five uns gesagt. Children learning of Bnei Brak. Hopefully we have someday son-in-law learning of Bnei Brak. So Haman got it. See, even Haman wasn't all bad. In fact, Karet, he was really a tool for good. Hitler was a tool for good too. We don't believe anything is independently bad. So the Mori Naim's contention is that the Meraglim held not like that. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh Vizro. So we hold Les Asar Ponui Minei, which is the words of the Tikkuni Zayar Tikkun Nun Zayin. We say God is everywhere. Even what looks like evil is really good in the skies. There is no evil. There is no evil. Hashem is even inside the evil. There's one universal power, Hashem Echad. That's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's only one God. There's not two gods. There's not good of God. There's not God of good and the God of evil. There's not God of night and the God of dark of day. There's not God for Yid and the God for Goyim. There's one God who is everything and everywhere. And evil is God as well. It's not really evil. It's a tool. It's a squeezer to squeeze out the best from us. The Meraglim like that. And therefore, he says that the Gemara says in Saita that the very names of the Meraglim, the names reflected their evil. So the Gemara says, for instance, one of them's name was Sesur B'Michael. The Gemara says, why is he called Sesur? Sesur means Lashon Listor. Listor means to hide and to contradict the words and the deeds of God. Because they said, you can't go there to Israel. It's all bad over there. Kalev Yeshua said, what do you mean? Of course there's some challenges in Eretz Yisrael. Of course there's some big, bad guys, big, giant, Anokim in Eretz Yisrael. They're not bad. There's God in those giants. That's God's way of scaring us. And many of us realize we need His help. That's God's way of humbling us. That's not broken off from God. When we say that there is Olam HaShvira, it means to say that before the Shvira, God was absolutely visible, so to speak. And there was no questions. There was no room to even choose the other direction. But even the other direction, without the Bechira, we couldn't grow. If there wouldn't be darkness and evil in the world, what looks like evil, we wouldn't have free choice. And free choice is the greatest bracha. So the evil is really, without the evil, there wouldn't be Bechira Chavshas, without the Chavshas, we wouldn't have the greatest thing we have in our minds is Bechira, free choice. If there wouldn't be what to choose from, we couldn't have free choice. So the evil is really a good thing, because it gives us a choice. If we didn't have a choice, we wouldn't be men. We'd be robots. We wouldn't have the highest good, which is the ability to choose. They said no. Evil is totally separated from God, and Israel is totally evil, and God can't even get in there. God is God, and evil is evil, and never the twain shall meet. That's why they said, even God can't conquer the country, because evil is outside the realm of God. And I told you, Rahman al-Islam, I told you that this kfirah still persists to this day. I told you about this Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. How could a good God make bad things happen? He says, Enechnami, God's not the balabos over bad. Bad acts independent of God. There are forces that God is not in control of. Afila Pume. All God can do is make you feel good. When the bad guys get you, and when the evil mugs you, so God's helpless to protect you from the evil. Very helpless God, Nebuch. But God can, like, can you put a band-aid on? He's the hospital. He's the doctor. He's the comforter. For evil, independent of God. Rechmon l'tlan, afer l'pume. That's what the kfir of the Meraglim was. That's what's called susur, lush nastira. There was Saiser God and Gansen. They contradicted God. And another one's called Nachbi, then Vafsi. Nachbi lush and shehichbi dvar shal kadosh baruch. Nachbi also means to hide the words of God. That God, that makes, as if to say God is hidden. This place that God doesn't exist. This place that hides from God. That there are places hidden from God. There's evil that's hidden from God. So sur means this places that are beseser, and nachbi means this, the same word, lachbi, to hide from God. They're broken off from God. Then you have vafsi. The Gemara says shepas al midaisu shel kadosh baruch hu. Again, he like steps on God's toes. That there's powers that can step on God's toes, as if God has nothing to say. Evil exists on its own. And this was their mistake. And he's marach on this concept. And he says, that's exactly why the Gemara says that the Meraglim, how they die, that their tongues were stretched out of their mouths and got stuck onto their belly buttons, and worms are crawling up and down. Now, okay, they said Lashon Hara. So cut the tongues off. What's the idea that the tongue was elongated till their belly button? And what's up with the belly button? So he says, very good, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Kofrim, who say that there's more than one God, say there's a God of good and a God of evil. The God of good controls us from the belly button up. And the God of evil is from the belly button down. That's why you put the God from the middle. Right? There's the upper God is Hermon and Hermiz. I forget which is which. I think Hermon is the good God and Hermes is the bad God. There's a God of light and a God of darkness, a God of day, a God of night. So therefore the belly button symbolized the idea that man is split in two. So their kfir was that they said, you know, Eretz Yisrael is a land that belongs all to the bad. We Jews are good. Eretz Yisrael is not the land for us. It's a land of a lot of bad. And in that land, even God can't get in. Because good and evil are mamish demarcated, separated from one another, like the belly button separates the upper man, the lower man. There's the upper gods and lower gods. And God can't, there's a certain place where God has no control of the evil. After the Pume. So, they made a period between good and bad, and there's Rav Gomer, Shiefer L'Saklein. Very, he said that they believe that there was something as Rav Gomer, totally bad, and you can't fix it up. It's hopeless. There's the dark side. And the dark side is irredeemable, cannot be helped. But there is, I mean, you and I, again, maybe we hard to find to understand because you're a great Jewish philosophers already. But there is such a philosophy, and that's what they believe. And that's what the Gemara's Lashon is. The Gemara says all the time, like in the Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav, that Minim, and Apikarsim, who you don't believe in, who don't believe in Hashem Bechlal, may read them Malin. You'll either throw them down to a pit and kill them, and if they're in the pit already, don't take them out. May read them Malin. Because, which means that's the opposite of our what a Jewish philosophy is. A Jewish philosophy is like it says in Mishlei. What does it say in Mishlei? Chav Dalet, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. It says a tzadik falls seven times, he gets up. In other words, if a tzadik does something evil seven times, that dafka will bring him up. He'll do tshuva because of that. So he carried his mistake, he learns from his mistakes, and he will be misakin. He'll fall seven times, he'll get up. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kam. And after the fall, he makes him go higher. That's, so we are Moridin, but we're Malin. A Jew can go down, but he's always going up higher after he falls down. But the Apikarism don't believe in that. And Apikarism doesn't believe in God. I believe in God, but I believe in other gods. That's what the Zohar is all about. I believe in God. I believe in Torah, but I believe in other things too. And I believe there's evil in the world. There's a good God and there's evil gods. So that's what Apikarist Dafkuma reads in Vilay Malin. Because he holds there's a place that you can only go lower and not go up. He holds there's evil that you can't lift it up and get closer to Hashem. We don't believe that. We believe that every downfall was really engineered by Hashem to shake us up and wake us up so we come back and we go higher and better. So by us, we're Yardim, but we're Malin. We go up. By them, it's my reading Vilay Malin. They fall and they don't get out. Because that's their philosophy. That there's places that are all evil. It's all quicksand. So, this is the what the Omar 9 says. Now, the Omar 9, though, continue with this concept. He says, he showed a few places about our Hashgafa on things. Our Hashgafa is just the opposite of this. Our Hashgafa is that we believe, he says, the Moran Ayim says in the Parshas of Eschanan, that you know it says in Koheles that there are 28 times Chav Ches Itim, right? Ace. In Koheles you have 28 different times, right, Abzisha? Koheles, you have the 28 different times, and 14 are good, and 14 are bad. Paragimel Koheles, Eis Laledes, Eis Lamus, time to be born, time to die. Eis Latas, Eis Laker Natua, time to plant, the time to uproot. Eis Larog, Eis Lipo, time to kill, the time to cure. Eis Lifro, Eis time to destroy, time to build. A time to cry, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to throw stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to distance, not embrace. A time to search something lost, a time to lose things. A time to guard, a time to throw away. A time to rip, a time to sew. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. Eis lehov, eis lisno. Eis milchama, eis shalom. A time of war, a time of peace. 14 times there's 14 positives and 14 negatives. But together, of course, yet Yad and Yad together is Yedid, a friend, and 14 and 14 together is 28, which is Koach. Yet Koach. The idea is that the 14 good times elevate the 14 bad times. We don't believe that there's independence, there's good times and bad times. That's exactly the point. That's exactly what Shlomo is trying to teach us, that there's a time to rip and a time to sow. You know why things get ripped? To give you an opportunity to sow. Because if things wouldn't get ripped, Zisha, there'd be nothing to sow. And it's hard to sow things that got ripped. Fresh clothing can either sow. It's hard to sow ripped things. So the reason why things ripped is to give you a sow. And the reason why you cry is so that you should wipe away the tears and start laughing. And the reason why you destroy is so you should build up what was destroyed. So the 14 against 14 symbolize the idea of incorporation, the idea of harmonization. That we don't believe that good and evil are independent of each other. We believe that the evil is here to serve the good and brings the best out of the good. And he says that's why that's the Shvira. Hashem is everywhere. And even when you go to work every day, you go to business every day, so you say, oh, the Beis Medrash, that's the holy place. That's where I can serve God. Where is God? Come to Morinayim Shir. That's where I'll find God in the shul, in front of the Aron Kodesh. But my arts and crafts place over there, where's God? Dealing with his Geisha. Businessman knows at the Morinayim that when you're doing business, it's even a bigger service of Hashem. Because there, the Netzaitis are even harder to find. And listen to this, he says, in a few places, this is why the Hebrew word for business is called Masa Umaton. Business is called Masa Umaton, which usually is translated loosely as handling. Masa Umaton literally means, though, to lift and give. Which, I guess it means like it's like carry and cash. Masa Umaton would mean I take it and I give you, I pay you for it. I give you. I take and I give. I take and I give. It's give and take. Masa matan. But the Morinayim says it's to be understood literally. Masa means that I lift up the spark of Kedusha that's embedded in something that looks evil and looks so profane and so vachadik and so distant from God. And matan is I give it as a gift to Hashem. Masa is I elevate it. Masa, no say. And matan is I give it to Hashem. And that's what business is all about. And he says that's where you go on business trips. Have you been on a business trip lately? Where'd you go?
Florida
for business, sure. Have you been to Europe this year for business? No?
Uman.
Some people told me this family, some lady just told me she just came back from a business trip in Berlin. So she had to eat kosher food, had to find the kosher food in Berlin, and kosher environment. Yeah, she was in Berlin. So, all the ladies are the big career people today. Men tell them the ladies are working. You actually still work? Your wife's a career lady. You still shop too. Anyway, so the lady came back from Berlin. So she thinks she was in Berlin because she had a business conference for 3 days. But the real reason was, says the Morinayim, is because there's Nitzaitis. Berlin's a pretty evil place. Lots of evil there, a lot of klipas there. But there's some sparks of Kedusha embedded there. And she went on what's called a business trip. But business, Hebrew is called Masa Matan, because what she's really doing is that she's lifting up the Kedusha from what looks evil and giving it back to Hashem. That's the Morinayim you cite all over his Sefer. The business called Masa Matan. No save and no saying Lamala Lamokam Shirosha. You bring it back to the source. It fell from its source. Everything evil means something that fell far away from its source. You bring it back to the source, it gets good. He says this, he sowed all over the Morinayim. He says in Likutim, he says that's why business is also called Schoira. Schoira. Merchandise is called Schoira. Why is it called Schoira? Because really in Hebrew, the word Schor means go around. Like the Gemara says in Shabbos, Schor Amin Lazir, the Karmel Sikra. If we tell another, you're not allowed to eat grapes, so you're passing by a vineyard, even though the shortcut would be to go through the vineyard, passing right by the grapevines, don't go close. Go around and around. Avoid problems. Schor is schor. Schor means go around in a circle in Aramaic. So schor also means the same thing. He says, because when you're going for business, you think you're going for business, but that's just a circle around and around. But you're really doing it. The direct thing you're doing is salvaging lost souls, lost nitzaitis. You're elevating the evil, and you're bringing it back to good. You're bringing it back. It was in the shvira. It was broken off. It was a fragment. Now you're taking the fragment and you're bringing it back to its source. So the business itself is schor, schor. It's going around in circles. That's not the point. Schor means you're going around in circles. It's not the point of why you're going. The reason why you went to business over there is that's your bait. If I tell you to go to Berlin to catch a lost spark and to misaken evil, you say, Rabbi, I'm busy. I got enough evil here in Muncie to work on. So therefore Hashem sent you a business conference in Berlin. And there's some money to be made. And there's a profit. And there's a bonus. But you think you're going there for the schaira? The schaira is just around and around. That's just going around in circles. That's not the point. The point is masa matan. The point is to elevate and bring what's bad back to the good. Berlin is a big ticket. You hear? Psh. What you're really doing is you're bringing the ISIS of the Torah back. Mary the Kazakh. He says, by the way, that the word sheker, right here he says, the word sheker, you know where it comes from? Sheker means shekar. Shekar means you got cold. Because because the closer you are to Hashem Gedalia, the hotter of a Jew you are. Did you die with Varmkai today? Did you die with a Bren? With a passion? With a fire? With a fire? That means you're close to the Emes. When you're with a fire, then you're close to the emes. When it's cold, that means you're closer to the sheker. That's what's called sheker. Sheker means shekar. Because it's far away from the emes. The emes is hot. And the lies are cold. It's far away from the source of Hashem. So that's what's called shekar. Psh. You hear? Nupshat, sheker, wow. Shekar. Because he says, really, the letter of love for Hashem is shin. Because shin is the only letter that has three heads to it. A right head, a left head, and a middle head. The right represents emes, and the left represents sheker, and the vav in the middle, the head in the middle represents balance between emes and sheker. Because we'll have a little lies in our life. The question is how much. You ever lie? You're not so close to the truth? Not so close. And we have to have a balance that brings us back from the left to the right. So the shin represents the proper balance between emes and sheker. Sometimes you can lie for the sake of shalom. You know, sometimes you don't have to say the gantz emes. For shaduchim, you don't have to say everything. People ask, okay, shaduchim question. You have to say this up front, that up front. Certain things you have to say up front, certain things you don't. If my wife knew everything about me in advance, she never would have married me. So it's a good thing they covered it up. But that was, like for Shalom Bias, they covered it up. Then the truth. She's been discovering the truth now. It's almost 40 years. So shin represents balance. That there's full truth, something that's a little further away from the truth, you gotta go to the middle of the road. So shekar. So sheker means that you got cold and you didn't exercise the shin principle, which means to get to the middle of the road, and instead you're far away from the warmth of emes, which is the fire, which is the source of Hashem. That's what's called shekar. Mer de gezach. The Mar Nine says over and over again that whenever a person goes on a business trip, he was not going for the business. It's because there's nitzaitzes shaloi hashiyachim l'sharish nishmasai. Because there's certain sparks that only Nasan Mun can redeem. That's why it's a travel to Fargo, South Dakota, or North Dakota for some business conference. What are you doing there? You think you're going for business. That's just schayra. That's going around in circles. The real point is that you're there to invite sparks of Kedusha. Only you can do. No one else in the world can do it. You and I can't do it. Only you can do it, Nasan. Go for it. What?
By being there,
davening, putting on towels and filling. and eating kosher food and learning and being a good Jew. That's Masa Matan. Maybe he'll bring out the tzaitzis. Must be a lot of the tzaitzis in Muncie. I said, so many Jews here. What? You what? He'll take Las Vegas. Well, the good news is that they're opening a yeshiva in Las Vegas this year now. Chavetz Chaim's opening a branch in St. Louis, and Las Vegas. They're opening up, what? Las Vegas is a big Yiddish Akilah. There's a couple of shuls there now. And the shuls have no problem with that, no financial problems. You have a blackjack game, and you have a little rabbi's, there's a little roulette, there's a one-arm bandit, what do they call those one-arm bandits? The slot machines. So, you know, in the base manager, they have a slot machine. If you learn, and you take a little break, you do a little slot, no problems. The Baltic. You like that idea? Well, I don't blame you, and I hope I'll never be there myself. I'm not interested in going to Las Vegas, but there's a yeshiva opening up in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, there's young Israel there. There's schools. Not on the. Were you there, Chaim? Have you been to Las Vegas?
No.
Not lately. Yeah, pleading the fifth. Anyway, now he just sticks to Atlantic City, you know. The kids are. So, there's the tzitzis to be in Mavari, even Las Vegas. Even Atlantic City is what there's work to do. And you think you're going there for business, but you're really going there to be mala this. Okay, now this brings us into the Heilige Kedushas Levi. What does the Kedushas Levi have to tell us? So the Kedushas Levi says, in Heilige Parsha, Pshat v'yikach koirach. What's really yikach koirach? This is a very beautiful word. He says, why is it v'yikach koirach? I'll tell you why, he says. Because, he says there's a tzaddik who does what good conclusion about 10 minutes, Rabbi said. So he says, Yimamish says the vort in Paris, he says, Mamish the vort, on avoidance maton etens kunaskam, before he goes to the word of v'yikach koirach, he says, Mamish beferish, the end of the parsha, the Kedushas Levi, that when Adam oisa masa matim with a goy, and the yid makes money, and through that the yid can serve Hashem better, so he's maler than the tzaitis from the goy, that's what's called nosata v'nosata b'amuna. Nosata means you lift up the tzaitis, and the nosata means you give back to Hashem. He's mamish the same bar as the Maranayim. The Kedushas Levi says, Mom, in Parash Koirach, says the same Yisai that the Moranayim said in Parash Shlach. That Masa Mat means, Mamish, you take you do business with the guy, you get money out of the guy, and you use it to serve Hashem, to learn Torah, and to do mitzvahs. You're nice, say, it's Masa Mat, you're lifting up the spark out of the guy, and you're giving it back to Hashem, and you're putting it back in the Shirish, and making it red hot. It's a red hot Nitzaitis. But earlier on, he says, there's a lot of things. Actually, there's a lot of things. But I'll try and make it quick. He says, there's a lot of things. Okay, I'll tell you this word. Zok, the Heilige Kedushas Levi, that Vayikach Koirach means like this. Raj says, this Palag Koirach. Raj says, he cut himself off. He separated himself. What does that mean? Because there's a tzaddik who serves Hashem just to give a time. You see, when you daven, what's your purpose in davening? You only want to give nachas ruach to the Baruch Shem. You have no interest in yourself. You're not asking for yourself. It's not a shopping list. Your purpose in davening is give nachas ruach to the Baruch Shem. Hashem loves hearing from his kindleach, especially from you, one of his dearest kindleach. So Hashem wants to hear from you. You're davening. Hashem wants to hear from me. You call your mother up every now and then. Some people call their mothers. They call your father. Some people call their fathers. Mothers make them happy. Why make them happy? You call them up. Some people call because they want to get money. Some people call because they want to make him happy. My mother, or any kaparaz mishkava, I used to call her all the time. I used to call her every day. Why? Make her happy. I know she's safe, I know she's good, but she is my voice. Sonny boy makes her very happy. Davening is 3 times a day Hashem wants to hear from us. It's a call. It's a call to your tati. That's your kavana ben. You're calling tati, giving Hashem nach. Now you know what you're doing. Now you know what you're doing from now on. Sasha, you're davening, you're giving nachas to your Baruch Shem. Not collect call. So a tzaddik who serves, you know what? Zisha, a tzaddik who serves Hashem to give him nachas. It makes no difference to him whether he does it or someone else does it. I have to make the call, as long as I'm making the call. There's only one phone, the tzaddik says, you know what? Zisha, you can go first. You can have the phone. You can call Hashem. I want to give Hashem nachas ruach. The fact that Kairach said, oh yeah, I'm a servant of Hashem. But why you aren't? Why not me? That shows Vispalah Kairach. That shows you the fact that Kairach is a person who is separated from Hashem. Because if you really were close to Hashem, you wouldn't be interested, you wouldn't make a difference to you if you did the avodas Hashem or someone else. You wouldn't be interested in the schar. The act itself would be the biggest schar. So Yigah Kairach means, he took for himself, the fact that Kairach took for himself, he separated himself from others, that was the sharish of his chait. To Aaron, it would have made a difference. Aaron would say, I don't care, as long as someone's calling God, as long as someone's serving God, I don't care, that doesn't mean me. Because anything that Hashem should be served. But if a person separates, so all Jews are the same. As far as I'm concerned, it's a Zan, does that mean me? Any Jew can do it. The fact that Kairach is by Yikach Kairach, he took himself to the side and said, why you Aaron? What's the difference to you, Kairach? Zikr is Hashem is served, Hashem is pleasure. The fact that it bothers you that Aaron's doing it, it shows you're not serving Hashem to give him Tainan, you're serving Hashem for your reward. You're missing the whole point. That's like I told you, I think I mentioned the other day, that there's three Madregas in Avodas Hashem. Some people serve God for the sake of reward in this world, very low level. Some do it for the sake of reward in Olam Haba, that's still low level. The ultimate reason to serve Hashem is only one reason, to give him Nachas Ruach. Not for Olam Haba. There's something higher than Olam Haba. I want to give him Nachas Ruach. I want to get back to Hashem. I want to be one with Hashem. If I want Olam Haba, I want Tanug Olam Haba, there's still a little trace of selfishness in that as well. That's also selfish. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to give time to a bunch. I'm a giver, not a taker. If I'm here to take Olam Haba, that's Oichen Nisht Haiz Madrega. I'm still a taker. It means there's an identity of me separate from God. I'm taking from God. It means God's God and I'm I. No. The Yisrael of a real love of this Hashem is that there's no difference between me and God. We are one. And therefore, I'm not here to get rewards for me, Olam Haba. I'm here to give Hashem pleasure. So what's the difference? If I give it, another Yid gives it. If someone else wants to do it, let's make two people happy. The Yid and the Rebbeinu Shlom. So Vayikach Kairach means that Kairach was in the world of Kicha. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabbi Yisai, a little more, but it's getting late. We'll stop here. You should all be avenged. Mr. Shem, hope to see you next Wednesday night.